The opinions expressed on this program are not those of Greater Media or its management, staff, advertisers, or ownership.
Welcome to Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, life coach, author, and journalist. Join us for Jennifer's conversation series discussing issues, events, and advice to help you navigate life's challenges.
Welcome to Life Advice, everybody. This is your host, Jennifer Lewis Hall. So glad you're with me. Listen, it is that time of year. What time are we talking about? Tax time. That's right. We're in the new year. And now, really, when you think about it, just a couple of months away from filing, but I'm sure you're getting all your stuff together right now. And I love doing kind of a tax 101, a kind of primer, just to find out, you know, what's new in terms of, you know, tax code, what's relevant for us, what's much of the same, and what are some of the types of deductions that we should be looking at taking? That's really the kind of thing that I think is always great to refresh and kind of put right up in, you know, our noggin right up here, because I know I'm just starting to get everything together, and it can be a pain in the neck. You're looking at, you know, what documents do you need and where do you need to go for information? And so that person chuckling on the other end right there with me is Brian Greenberg, and he is a certified public accountant. He is with Brian C. Greenberg and Associates, and you've really done this for a long time, not only given advice, but crunched the numbers.
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you, Jennifer, for inviting me on your program. It's greatly appreciated, and I'm happy to offer whatever little bit of tidbits of knowledge I have deep in the recesses of my mind, and hopefully people will benefit by that.
Oh, I know that we can benefit by just even knowing that, okay, number one, what day do we file this year? Let's go through the basics. I'm going to just let it flow right now. Tell us what we need to be mindful of.
Well, first of all, nothing has changed. April 15th is always the date when the government it wants its pound of flesh, so to speak. And sometimes the 15th falls on a weekend. We get
right.
A couple extra days, but not this year.
And that's also, you know how it's a telltale sign? When you go by any kind of larger post office, even the small ones, and you see that line all the way around, like, the corner. And certainly I know, like, if you go to, you know, in major cities even, you know, I've seen kind of like, what is it, down to midnight, right?
Well, yes and no. That is the craze. That's what happens when people who do it themselves, that is the end result. But most practitioners today do something called electronically filing the returns. And even though you can be at the 11th hour, now it goes off, you know, with the push of the button of the computer. And you don't have to run down to your post office.
Send. But there are still going to be people, Brian, that are in line.
Absolutely.
You know that. And I'm trying to not be one of them. So now we want to, and I don't want my listeners to have to be one of those folks that is just saying it's 11:59, you know, and trying to get like a postmark on this thing. So basically every year this rolls around. Why do we feel sometimes so like a little bit anxious, you know, and kind of like, oh, my goodness, here we go again. There's got to be a better way to ease into tax season.
Well, let's first deal with the trauma that most people feel. And the trauma is we don't want to offend the IRS, right? We want to make sure at the end of the day we get the paperwork in and we kept the IRS at bay. They got their money. They leave me alone for another day. So that's always overhanging people. And that's where I want to get into those people who procrastinate, those 11:59 a.m. filers on April 14th.
Oh, man.
Why do you want to torture yourself between February 5th and April 14th and wait till then to get it done? Why suffer through? Because you think you don't think about it, but it's there. And every time it pops up, you feel stress, a knot in your gut. And then you just sort of, I don't want to deal with it. But face your pain. Face it. Get it over with. Don't wait till April 14th.
So
you can even file on April 10th.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, is the old rule of thumb, if you owe money, you kind of like delay the process a little bit, not going over the deadline, not going past April 15th.
Sure.
But, you know, hey, listen, I owe. It's, you know, I'm going to wait until the last minute, so to speak. And then, of course, if you're getting money back, then folks are really waiting for that W-2 in the mail. And that leads to my next question. If you haven't gotten the W-2 by now, what's up? Because isn't there a deadline by which companies and firms must send those out?
absolutely. You should have received it by now. Technically, it used to be January 15th. Now, with all the additional filing requirements, the end of January for those people who are employed and those people who are self-employed getting a form called 1099. All that reporting should have been, you should have received it by January 31st. If you have not, you better call up those people right away, and they can either fax it to you or email it or something, but you need that. You, absolutely, you want to be on top of that, and don't just assume that you know that it'll just happen by itself. Because oftentimes, if you move, say, they may not have your current address.
Right. And I've had a case where it's actually gotten lost.
Yep.
It's rare.
Something gets lost in the mail.
Out of all the things, I'm thinking, why couldn't it be like somebody's Christmas card that you love, but you'd be like, listen, I'll see you soon.
Or better yet, a bill that's sent to you, you want that to be,
never.
You know,
those are never lost in the mail. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, wow, it actually does happen. And so if you haven't gotten that, that's kind of a, I don't know if it's a first step, or I like to see it as a final step. When I'm really churning and prepping my taxes, I'm like, okay, that's actually the last thing I need. This year, I'm not so prepared. It's kind of like the first thing I'm starting with. Now, if you're getting started, where do we begin with collecting our documents? What are some of the things that typically we need all the time?
Well, here's what's nice. You actually have a built-in checklist. These are for those who want to do it themselves. God bless you. Look at, and then we'll get into why you should later on. You have a checklist, which is your 2013 tax return. Because on that return, it has information you entered in, and you can use that as a guideline for a checklist for your current year. So you don't have to think in your mind and be overwhelmed, oh, did I remember this? Did I remember the charity? Did I remember, you know, if I had a mortgage and taxes? Just use your look through wherever you see a number on the 2013 return, you look for a similar document this year.
Wow. So just use that. Take that
Absolutely.
Out, pull it out, and just use that and go down the list and say, and the documents, typically if you have someone prepare it for you, usually your documents are right in that folder.
Correct. But rather than even search at each document, sometimes, you know, when you're doing, you're looking through like lots of pieces of paper, oftentimes it can get lost and misplaced. Just use the actual return itself.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, and then that way, you know, like, you know, obviously if you change jobs, you know, you need two W-2s, people forget, but you want to look at, and then look at, when you know, that's the first step, to use that, you know, built-in checklist from last year to help guide you for the current year.
Wow, sounds like a great idea. What else can you tell us in terms of, as we prepare our documents, what are some of the documents in a standard way? Again, if you are, say, you know, my son was even asking me about this. He's a student, single, and then no children, and he is saying, okay, where do I begin? So he's looking at, you know, trying to do a basic form like a 1040 EZ or something like that. Many people just need that. Is that something they can do on their own, or is there a primer online with the IRS that can kind of guide you? What can you say for the basic tax return, and what is basic?
Basic was is not basic is today.
Oh, boy.
So there is no basic anymore. And your son is a perfect example of a client of mine. Their daughter graduated college, and she said, well, they didn't want to, you know, and she had to file her own return. She had her, you know, wages, her first year working out, and didn't want to reach out to me. They wanted to save a few dollars and have her do her own return, which is fine. She went and filed a return, you know, and included up her wages. She entered all that information correctly. But she made an error that cost her $2,500.
Wow.
$2,500 because, hey, how can you make a $2,500 error from just filing a W-2? She did nothing else. Well, she was a student, and she had paid. Therefore, there was tuition that was paid on her behalf in the year she graduated that she could use that as a college credit.
Oh, my goodness. So she didn't know.
By her thinking that it was easy and the parents trying to save a couple hundred dollars, they wound up costing themselves $2,500.
So you need to know what you're doing, and you need to know what deductions to take.
Yeah, and the reality today is it's more complex than ever. I think it's, you know, besides special interests, I think a bunch of accountants help devise the laws because that's what keeps us employed, because every year it gets more and more complex. And every year you need, you know, what used to be simple, just as an example, years ago, you wouldn't have it that, you know, the student would have filed the return.
Right.
His son would be filing his return. But if he's not aware, there's no one to tell him, oh, you should think about this. You should know about it. Yeah, if you read up and try to stay on top of it. But there's millions and millions of tax laws out there. How can you? No one is on top of all the laws.
Spoken like a true accountant, folks. Spoken like a true accountant. He's going to stay in business. But I will tell you this: even when you begin, I have to say, whatever personal preference, you know, my listeners out there, whatever you prefer. Basically, what you're saying, Brian, is just know what you're doing, because it is a process that you don't want to get hung up on either losing perhaps a credit or a deduction you could have benefited from, or I'm sure you're going to tell me also underpaying or not doing something properly, and then the IRS, I guess, auditing you or coming back and saying, what does this mean in your taxes? So, you know, let's go through our list and then let's go back to that. What
sure.
happens if, in fact, you are contacted by mail by the IRS? Because I think that's the only way it's going to happen is by mail, correct?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, correct. So if you get an email from an IRS, someone saying they're from the IRS, they're not the IRS.
There you go.
Does not initiate any emails to anyone. So that is a fraudulent
contact. Meaning, do not be fooled by, you know, these scams that are out there. So I'm glad we talked about that. And what else?
And I'll tell you another scam that I heard came up from a few people. People receive phone calls out of the blue.
Yeah, we've seen this.
And saying you're being audited and then trying to get personal information from you.
Wow.
And if you try to call them back, you typically are unable to do so. It's another spam, another ripoff that's floating around out there. So
and this
the bottom
is serious
line
stuff.
Is that the
a lot of
IRS,
times, I was going to say, a lot of times, you know, too, you have people who are, you know, or sometimes they're preying on the elderly or someone picking up a phone and they'll say, you know, call us back with information. If you don't, we're going to take, you know, action against you. It's, you know, threatening you, I guess, to do something.
Yep. And trying to be intimidating. So the important point here is, the IRS corresponds exclusively through the mail system.
Well, and that's a very, very, very big point to make, folks. We're talking with Brian Greenberg, who's a CPA, about getting ready for tax time, prepping, making sure you have your W-2 and what kinds of documents you need. What are some of the things that, you know, when we think about sort of common deductions that are oftentimes overlooked, tell us about that.
Well, and the reality of the tax laws today, or the best way to get deductions, I'll tell you the best way to get a deduction. And that is, that can help you. You can be employed somewhere, but let's say you have an interest, you want to sell watches on eBay, say. You collect watches, you can just start selling them here and there. Turn that into a business. And by turning it into a business, well, you know, you're on the internet. It's a cost of doing business with placing your goods on eBay. Now you can write off your eBay, your internet costs. And let's say you're reaching out and talking to potential clients who want to buy the watches by phone. You can write off a portion of your cell phone. So the point I'm getting at is, by establishing a part-time business, and it's got to be legitimate. You can't just make something up. But if you're doing something as a hobby, turn it into a business, and then you can write off stuff that you otherwise can't get a deduction for. So let's say you were employed. You couldn't deduct your internet at home. You couldn't deduct your cell phone expenses. You couldn't deduct if you bought a computer. Well, by developing an interest and starting a side income, all these things become deductible, you know, depending on what you're doing. And now you're saving. That's the real savings.
Wow. So that's really, you're saying something, even just an ordinary hobby that becomes a business. And when you say legitimate, that means that you're actually filing taxes, you're keeping accounting of your income and outflow. You're really making sure that this is a legitimate entity.
Exactly. You're not just making up numbers and putting them in return. The IRS and I frown upon that. That's not a good thing. You know, you don't want to do something stupid.
What about if you have, though, for people who have a family, you know, you have a home that you own, you have children in school, there's deductions that are very, I don't want to say common because I don't want to mislead anyone in that sense, but are things you should be looking at. If you have children college age, if you've bought new appliances that are going to be energy efficient or windows or doors, those types of things, where do we go with that?
Well, I'll tell you, the big thing is the credits that the government gives. That I mentioned earlier, the college credit. There's an earned income credit. And these are all income-based. So you don't know until you apply it, until you calculate it. There's if you have child care expenses, there's a child care credit. So, in essence, the biggest bang for your buck, if you're going to look for it, put more money in your pocket, is you want to, maybe you go to irs.gov, and you type in credits, or you can just credit, you know, or just Google tax credits, and becoming familiar with the money, where the areas where the government is giving you money back, that's dollar for dollar, not just a reduction in your income, but actually giving you, if you're eligible, a dollar-for-dollar reduction in your taxes, that's the biggest, that's the low-hanging fruit. That's the biggest area that I would start with on how to put more money into your pocket. And that is the area that people who are not familiar with the tax laws often miss.
And when you say tax credit, explain to our listeners exactly, you know, what does that mean, whether it's going to be for child care, earned income credit, or college credit if your kids, or is that even if yourself, if you are in school?
Well, I want to explain what a deduction is and what a credit is. And then, you know, I'm going to get a little technical here. Hopefully.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, Bring it on, Brian.
Okay. A deduction could be is I gave money to the church, $500.
Mm-hmm. Your tithes.
And let's say my income was $30,000. Now, after that deduction for charity, now my income is $29,500. And then I pay taxes on that $29,500. And let's say that's $3,000 in taxes. So that reduced my income by $500, but it didn't. And then I pay taxes on that lower taxable income. But my taxes could have been before that deduction. Instead of paying $3,000, let's say they were $3,200. So I got some benefit, but for a $500 contribution to a church, my taxes got lowered by $200.
Okay.
But with a credit, and let's say your child goes to community college, and so they spend $2,000, just to throw off, for an example. And they're, you know, obviously they're in college, and you're eligible to get that college care credit. And this is all a calculation. You can, in essence, get $2,000 more refund in your tax return. So let's say if you were due to get a refund of $4,000.
Right.
Now you have this $2,000 college credit because your son went to community college. Now your refund is $6,000. So literally, for every dollar you spent to go to community college, you got back that same amount of money.
So it's important to really make sure that you take these credits if you're eligible. I mean, it's money that, you know, is mitigating what you may owe, or, you know, it's kind of money coming back to you. It's a credit, in fact, in that way, as you said, versus
huge.
A deduction. I mean, that is huge, especially with college costs.
Oh, my God. Well, it doesn't defray, obviously, the whole cost
right.
of going to college.
But it helps.
$2,500, it's better, they say, than a poke in the eye.
Right. It absolutely helps. Now, what about when you can, and this kind of just, it's along the lines of our taxes, but I always think this is good when my kids were small to talk about this with your accountant, if you have a tax preparer that is a professional, knows what they're doing, to talk about kind of those dependent care. You can kind of have certain expenses that, I guess, are pre-tax or what have you. A lot of that's also child care, I think, was used to be factored into that, and some other things that you should maybe bring up with your accountant once you talk about what your tax return is going to look like, where you can kind of put money away,
well,
and how it's a benefit, right, for you for your taxes.
Well, anything you're talking about, like putting money into a retirement account?
No, well, that's one thing, and we should probably do just even a whole show on that and the tax implications that go with it, for things like early withdrawal and penalties and things like that. But around this time of year, if you have, say, a dependent care account, I guess it's mm-hmm. sometimes it's through work or what have you, taking advantage of that if it's right for you. I think sometimes when the words used to be like flexible spending account and things
yeah.
like that. Sometimes, you know, people say, is it pre-tax, after-tax? Is it a good idea to at least look at these things and say, is it right for me? Should I take advantage of it? Because the child care costs, exorbitant. The college costs, exorbitant. Sometimes
well,
this is worth it.
Well, you really touched on a whole other area that people really overlook and don't take advantage of, and that is called employer benefits. Now, one of those benefits could be child care, where there's this flexible spending and so forth. The bottom line, typically, you're saving a lot more by utilizing your employer benefit to purchase health care, you know, child care services for your children, or maybe it's for using health care for going to the dentist or whatever. But, or even where people don't contribute to a retirement account, even when the employer is giving them money, they still don't do that. So the bottom line with all that is that an important area, when talking about taxes and savings, go contact your employer. Get educated on all the benefits that are offered by your employer. Don't just say, I know your eyes will glaze over. They'll tell you all these things.
Right, right.
Spend the time to figure out what every benefit is and how it can benefit you, because you're throwing away oftentimes thousands of dollars that you otherwise or losing out on by not taking advantage of that.
We have just a few minutes left with you, but I was going to say, how can we take advantage of some of the resources that are out there? You, of course, are an accountant and saying, listen, even if you have a simple return, you could be missing out on some deductions. You think it's a great idea when people do go to an accountant. Not everybody says they can afford to. Not everybody wants to. How can you help yourself? There's software out there. You can go to, you know, a preparer that doesn't necessarily know you year after year. But what do you think about the software? And what do you think about going, I think you can go on the IRS website.
Well, hey, absolutely. There's all kinds of software out there. But as they say, the old expression, garbage in, garbage out. Just like I mentioned, I talked earlier about the students who filed their own taxes, very easy to enter the information, didn't want to pay a couple hundred dollars to, you know, go to a professional to have their taxes done. As a result, cost herself $2,500. So, yes, it may be easy to enter, but there may be scenarios, just like with that example, or with child care credit, or with earned income credit, or with college credit, all these things that are out there, you know, nothing's going to give you that information in a software program to say, are you aware of this? It's not geared that way. It's only geared by you, the user, knowing
to enter. But they're pretty, I have not done one myself, but from what I understand, they're, you know, depending upon whatever program you're getting at whatever level of, you know, comfort level you have. Some say it's you know, there's a tutorial or it's easy to use. But again, you're saying you have to be entering the right data and information.
Yep.
That's for one thing. And knowing how to do that. Even when you are doing the financial aid for your college, for yourself, or for your children, as you're doing that. And this all draws me back to taxes, because it's around this time of year, Brian, that I feel like you kind of revisit all these numbers. Your taxes, you need that tax return to really do the FAFSA. You know, you need to kind of enter those numbers properly, and you can see how detail-oriented any of that can be. But I've even found that having, you know, an accountant helps you even with all these other areas of life, what you and I are talking about. Would you say that sometimes the benefit is not just looking at your accountant as an April 15th type of person to contact?
Absolutely. And that's where a good accountant will give you tax planning to help guide you, not just do numbers and give you back a piece of paper that says you owe or getting a refund, but really that educates you to what the tax laws are out there. And what better ways to take advantage of it? It's about the old adage of the educated consumer. If you're educated and understand where the government's giving you money, that's where a qualified preparer is worth their weight in gold, because it's not a cost. You're not paying him a fee. He's putting money in your pocket.
I think this is great. Before you go, you want to go with top five, maybe? You can think of them on the fly here. Maybe the top five mistakes people commonly make with regard to their taxes when they're preparing to file?
When they do their own? Well, we spent a lot of time going over all the lost credits that they're not aware of. That's very big. They have their own business or have a part-time business. I had to get a perfect example. I have a client of mine who's in music production, and he was, you know, and he's starting off on the side, and bottom line is it's all legitimate. And he has about a $4,000 or $5,000 deduction that's going to save him about $800 in tax that he wasn't aware of. So recognize you could be doing something on the side, and then you don't track it down, and you don't think of it, and that's where a preparer gives you advice. So that's the two easiest ones, that the credits, starting off a side business. There is charity. I mean, oftentimes with charity, people just look at the check. They forget, like, let's say I go to church every week. And while I don't get a receipt, it still counts. You went to church. You should be doing, it's a deduction. So, but the biggest thing, which leads to the other big point, is the lack of keeping track of your documents during the year, like charity. That's money you're throwing away when you don't keep track of those documents.
I think that's a really important one. And I would say that also I'm going to add to the list, because I know we could probably even come up with 10, but the five kind of, you know, most common or notable ones, I'm going to add to the list, and I'm going to add procrastination. Would that be a good one, Brian?
That is the best one.
Because
you're at the top of the list.
Because let me tell you something. There's like the fear of taxes. Tax man cometh, right? So the fact of the matter is that to add a little, you know, you might say, well, what in the world's that got to do with numbers? I think a lot of times we're afraid, you know, we're going to owe, or what's it going to look like this year? We've had a big change in circumstance. I don't know if that's the word you preparers use. That's certainly the word that your job may use if you're changing something, you know. So if you've had a change in your life and that impacts, you know, your taxes, what will that implication, what will that change really mean on paper? So I think just emotionally getting through that and saying, let me look at the numbers. I always say, let me see what the damage is up front. You know, when people say, do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? I'm like the person that's like, give me the bad news first so I can feel better after you tell me
exactly
with the good news, right? So it's not always bad in the sense that at least you know what you're facing. And I like the fact that you can plan then for potentially for next year. Even if it's not what you wanted, at least you know, okay, do I need to pay income tax if you're retired? You know, a lot of my dad and the retirees, maybe they want to pay quarterly. You know, an estimated amount. At least you can get on track. And I think that that's the best part. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. We're in February. It's time to get moving if you haven't. Last word up to you, Brian. What do you want to leave our listeners with in terms of as they're preparing to file their taxes this year on April 15th?
Kids, don't try this home alone.
You need supervision.
You need a qualified adult in the room to guide you accordingly. That would be a qualified professional. I'm sorry. Just like you don't go into court representing yourself today, unfortunately, you really shouldn't be doing your return yourself.
Wow. Well, you know, famous last words, they have been spoken. Brian Greenberg, CPA. Thank you so much, Brian, and happy tax time to you. I'm going to use the word happy in taxes in the
Absolutely.
Same
Absolutely. I have every day is a happy day. So we help our clients reduce their financial, get them financial peace of mind.
What's your website address?
Very simple. It's greenbergcpa.com. That's Green, GreenBergCPA.com.
Sounds fantastic, Brian. Thanks so much. Talk to you real soon.
Pleasure, Jennifer. Thank you.
And thanks for joining us, everybody, on Life Advice.
Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall has been a production of Magic 98.3 Radio. Be sure to tune in next week for Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, right here on Magic 98.3.